business decision about when you release your product. Separate the business decision of releasing your product from making your software releasable. That is, the more to the left of the continuum you are, the more you can marry your releases to your iterations of your features if you prefer. Your project portfolio decisions are easier to make, and they can occur as often as you want, as long as you get to done every feature or iteration. The more to the right of the continuum you are, the more you need to separate the business decision of releasing from finishing features or iterations. The more to the right of the continuum, the more important it is to be able to get to done on a regular basis so you can make good project portfolio decisions. Why? Because you often have money tied up in the long lead item expenses. You have to make decisions early for committing to hardware or non-recurring engineering, NRE, expenses. Why does this matter for your program? Your program product owner and core team, the people responsible for the business value of the program, will have to make many decisions on a weekly basis about the risks of the program. The more the technical teams can show progress by releasing, the more data the core team has, the better decisions the core team can make. It's that simple. If you have a software as a service, SaaS, product, and you're not able to release as often as once a day, you have impediments. Do you know what those impediments are? Can you remove them? 6.5. Release internally, even with hardware. As an agile program manager, create a culture of delivery even if you have hardware in your program. You might not be able to release new hardware every month because of the expense. You have another alternative. When hardware developers create their product, they simulate. They can demonstrate from their simulations. It's possible that only the software people understand those demonstrations, but that's fine. Someone has to understand those demonstrations, have the hardware people demonstrate their working product to the software people. Then the software people get to demonstrable instead of releasable until the hardware people make prototype hardware available to the program. Once everyone has prototype hardware, everyone can get to releasable. Ask everyone to be able to release their part of the product at least once each month, or, in the case of software, even more often. That's the internal release in the roadmap. When the hardware folks do the final debug on the hardware, they need the most up-to-date software. Having to wait even 2 weeks is a 2-week delay for your program. You have a linear, critical path until the software is ready. If every team, program team, or feature team works on small chunks of work they can get to done quickly, see if your teams can use continuous integration. If so, as they integrate and build, they can release their work for feedback. The sooner the testers provide feedback to the developers, the fewer defects you will have overall in the program. The sooner everyone integrates their work, the faster the teams can see if they have problems. The faster the feedback across the program, the less inadvertent technical debt your program will accumulate. If everyone releases something every day or so, you can create internal releases each month without too much fuss. It takes autonomy, collaboration, and exploration on the part of each team, which will be discussed in Chapter 7. 6.6. Are you integrating chunks or products from others? If you are dependent on vendors to supply chunks of your product, create milestones that show the interdependencies. You can share those interdependencies and update the dates for the milestones as the program proceeds. Consider whether you want a Kanban board or a Gantt chart or both to see the interdependencies. A Kanban board helps everyone see all deliverables and the state of those deliverables. If you're working with vendors new to Agile, you may need a Gantt board. Your Gantt chart won't be accurate. However, it will help everyone see interdependencies and allow you to share dates. If you can help those vendors provide you with working product at least as often as once a month, you have your monthly internal release. Use rolling wave planning and deliverable-based milestones. Make sure these vendors provide you working product, not specifications. You might also need specs to make sure everyone delivers their part of the product that works. And because this is an agile program, you can expect some of the delays in the specs to change as your vendors provide you with interim product. Don't let your vendors run open loop. They need to provide working product. Share all the dates with all your vendors. They need to see the interdependencies also. If you use a Gantt chart, don't believe the date, not at the beginning. The Gantt chart's end date is the first date you can't prove and you can't meet. You might want three-point estimation, a PERT chart, or a percentage confidence. Refer to the estimation discussion in Supply a Three-Date Estimate in Section 9.7. But the shape of the Gantt will help everyone see what's going on. For example, Clark Ching, program manager, provided the following anecdote. Gantts help to everyone see deliverables. I used this approach last year to deliver a brand new business far, far sooner than anyone expected. My key driver and my key selling point was this. We haven't had a good track record with this vendor. We expect them to ship us buggy software. I'd rather find the first batch of bugs 6 weeks in rather than 6 months in. If they don't deliver us buggy software, then brilliant. We can thank them. We can pat them on the back. We have reassurance. If they do ship us buggy software 6 weeks in, then we'll need to sit down and have a long, hard conversation, which is even better than brilliant. The vendor didn't like this suggestion, but after the project, once they'd finished earlier than they'd expected and saved themselves a lot of non-billable rework, they said they'd love to continue working that way. The Gantt view was important because so much of that program's development work needed to revolve around that vendor's schedule since it was our core platform. 6.7. Manage the risks of integration from other vendors. Your outside vendor or internal non-agile team might have terrific plans to deliver your program their monthly deliverables. They might yes you and have no plans to deliver. They might be something in between. If you integrate systems from other vendors, manage the risks by building integration time into your backlog and schedule. How much integration time? My guideline is that if a vendor is not agile, ask for monthly deliverables and expect to spend a month integrating the first time. That will provide you data. What do you do in that month? Your feature team start integrating the vendor's product. On day one, they find a showstopper problem. They can't integrate anything until the vendor fixes that problem. Let's assume you have a great vendor and they provide a fix the next day. Your teams continue to integrate, and 3 days later, they find another problem. This continues for several weeks. Here are some ways to manage the integration risks. Create an integration team to manage the vendor relationship, find problems, ask for fixes, and nudge the vendor into sending more frequent updates that work. Allow as much time for integration as the vendor has between releases to you. If the vendor releases once a month, allow for 1 month integration. Now track the elapsed time spent. Use that data to plan for the next integration. Ask the vendor to develop and release in an agile way. If your vendor could release every day or several times a day, could you take the product? If not, what would you have to do? Never assume you will get a defect-free build from a vendor at any time. Never assume your vendor-supplied build will arrive on time. Many vendors who are waterfall have a difficult time with frequent, defect-free releases. Encourage your vendor, and if it fits for you, offer to help them. 6.8. Create a culture of delivery throughout the program. In programs, the feature teams will have interconnection points with the rest of the feature teams. Ensure nothing prevents the teams from integrating often and demonstrating informally to anyone who will watch. This allows everyone to create a culture of delivery so you can get feedback and make sure you're on the right track. 6.9. Principles of create an environment of delivery. 1. An environment of delivery helps people see small wins as they work in the program. The principles are deliver early and often to satisfy the customer, and deliver working software frequently. 2. Look for places work can hide and expose that work. The principles are eliminate waste and amplify learning. 3. Make iterations and stories short so everyone can deliver daily. Start with a story size that is no larger than a team day or two team days. That allows each team to integrate into the code base all the time. Everyone can see the product growing all the time. The entire program delivers. Each small win creates more trust across the organization. The principles are deliver early and often to satisfy the customer. Welcome changing requirements. Working software is the primary measure of progress. And simplicity. Chapter 7. Encourage autonomy, collaboration, and exploration. Back in A Program is a Strategic Collection of Several Projects, Section 1.4, I explained that program management was not scaling agile, that it was scaling collaboration practices across the program. First, let's talk about what software is and how that changes how we think about our practices. 7.1. Software is learning, not construction. Product development, especially software development, is about learning. We uncover requirements as we proceed. If you expect to uncover requirements, you will learn as you proceed. Agile and lean allows you to implement and replan as you learn. We can't build software the same way we construct or manufacture. That's because all new software is innovation. Software projects help teams learn and innovate as they proceed. We can time box our learning. We can choose to stop doing something. We can put acceptance or release criteria around it and say, we have done enough for now. When I taught a bunch of analog chip designers Agile, they said, this is exactly what we do. We iterate until we get the trade-offs right. Iterating until you get the trade-offs right is what you do when you learn. When you iterate on the design and build incrementally, you learn throughout the development of your product. You can change as you learn. Agile and lean approaches assist program management by encouraging change. How? Agile and lean encourage change by helping the teams realize they need to implement small chunks of work in the form of features, finish that work so it's done, integrate that work across the program so everyone sees that work, retrospect at reasonable intervals, repeat. It doesn't matter what your product is. It could be an email application, an operating system, an embedded system, or some other product. If you follow the model above, you will learn as you proceed. This learning leads to change. That's where agile approaches are so helpful. The rate of learning in a program is significant because there are many more people than there are on a single project. If you try to treat a program as if it's a construction project, you'll be disappointed. Do not think you can roll down from the program to the projects and be agile. That is hierarchical, waterfall thinking. In agile and lean programs, we scale out from the cross-functional teams. 7.2. Scaling agile means scaling collaborative practices. If you want a large program because you want an earlier release date, your teams need to be autonomous so they can make their own decisions. They need to be collaborative because they will learn as they proceed. Some of those learnings will create interdependencies. And the teams need to be able to explore, not open loop, wander off exploration into nowhere, but exploration with the intent of learning. The way your program will succeed is if the teams communicate through their tests and continuous integration. It all goes back to the Agile and Lean principles from Chapter 1 of delivering working software, often as a holistic approach. To encourage speed in your Agile program, the program product owner needs to have feature sets on the Agile roadmap, not components. The more specific feature sets you have, the more teams can create tests and integrate independently. They may still have points of interdependence. However, the more you define specific features inside feature sets, the more the teams can operate as feature teams or as feature set teams, several teams together working on one feature set. However, if you want to encourage exploration on your Agile program, the program product owner can have themes or epics on the Agile roadmap. If your product is brand new, sometimes called greenfield, you may want to have several feature teams explore together. the feature teams have to work interdependently on each feature. You may need architects to do some wayfinding, although I prefer that teams do that collaboratively. When teams collaborate on discovering the architecture, they not only produce features now, they also formulate future features for the roadmap. The larger the feature, the closer it is to a theme or an epic, the slower the feature teams are. They must discuss with each other what the epic means and what the feature sets are for that epic. Teams might have to map their stories together along with their product owners to understand what the epic is. If you want speed, the collaborative practices are testing and integration. If you want exploration, the collaborative practices are story mapping and wayfinding before you can consider testing and integration. It depends on how much the product owners and the teams know about the product solution domain. 7.3. Create autonomous feature teams. I assume your program has feature teams or is working towards composing feature teams. Why? Because your customers buy features. They don't buy components unless you sell libraries. They don't buy services. They don't buy architecture or frameworks. They buy features. Consider organizing the teams and what the teams produce by what your customers buy. That way, you can make Conway's Law work for you, not against you. Conway's Law says the product architecture reflects the communication structures of those organizations. With a program, if you do not organize by feature teams, each team's cost of delay adds up. Single teams think they are done with their work, only to discover later that the components don't create features. I'll discuss this further in Section 15.3. The teams have dependencies on other teams. If your program is not yet organized into feature teams, take another listen to how features flow through teams in Section 6.3 and the suggestions about moving from other kinds of teams to feature teams. Chapter 15 also has ideas in troubleshooting agile team issues. When feature teams are autonomous, they create their own kind of agile approach. It doesn't matter if they use iterations, Kanban, both, or neither. It only matters that they have a constant flow of features through their team. If a feature team gets stuck, and this does occur, they can ask for help. But the team needs to be able to create their features by themselves without relying on experts from another team, or without interdependencies with other teams. That's what I mean by autonomous. Each team can still ask questions of another team or team member. I would expect that. But each team is a fully functioning agile team, a team which has been practicing, learning, and improving their agile approach. 7.4. Create small world networks to optimize learning. What is the best way to move information through your organization? The rumor mill. One person tells someone something. That person tells someone else. It's viral. It's as if the information has a mind of its own. Can you use that network, that viralness, for the benefit of your program? You can, if you organize the program to do so. That network has a name. It's called a small world network. If you've ever used Wikipedia, you used a product created by a small world network. Anyone can edit Wikipedia. There are some rules, mostly enforced by the community, about how people edit. Wikipedia has a notion of collective code ownership. It's natural language, not code, but the ideas are the same. Most of the users don't change Wikipedia. We see no need to do so. In your program, you would expect the developers to change the code. You would expect the testers to change the tests and the business analysts to change the stories and so on. You might have some rules about who can change what to make the program environment run smoothly. For example, you might agree on the norm that no one who is not a business analyst or a product owner can change stories less than 3 weeks out, but anyone can update for clarity any story at any time. Small world networks are flexible and depend on the team members to make them work. They have almost no limit to their scaling. They don't require hierarchy. They scale out, not up. They have a very low transaction cost. They don't require management. However, they do require that you tell people that you want them to work together. Figure 7.1 in the supplemental materials is a picture of what one small world network for 9 teams might look like. Your small world network will be different. Note that every team is connected to every other team, but not in the same way. Some people are highly connected. Some people are much less connected. That doesn't matter. The program can take advantage of how people are connected, even if people are not directly connected to each other. 7.5. Communities of practice create connection and collaboration. When you have feature teams, people want to connect to other people like themselves across the program. They want to connect to other platform, middleware, UI developers. They want to connect to other testers, analysts, writers, DBAs. If you create communities of practice in the program, they will have a way to connect. The feature teams take responsibility for their features, and the communities of practice provide people with a way to connect across feature teams and discuss issues that allow them to explore problems and solve them across the program. The communities of practice help people collaborate and learn across the program. Figure 7.2 in the supplemental materials is an example of what three feature teams might look like if they decided to create communities of practice from their feature teams. Notice that each community of practice has unique members, except for the developer community. Because architects are also developers, the architects and developers might overlap. Your program will have to decide what to do. Are all developers also architects? Or are architects who are embedded on the teams a subset of the developers? Let the teams decide. Remember, architects guide the business value of the architecture. They are not the only ones allowed to architect. Listen to Chapter 12, Shepherd the Agile Architecture, for more ideas about architects and how they help shepherd the business value of the product. Communities of practice help the teams connect and decide when and whether to deepen their small world networks. This is easier if everyone is co-located. When people are geographically distributed, their opportunities to learn from each other are virtual and not nearly as satisfying. People will still learn from each other when they are distributed, but they may discover it takes longer. 7.6. Avoid hierarchical titles. When you start thinking of your Agile program as spokes of networks, you realize that the teams move toward not only solving problems themselves, but also coordinating among themselves. Tip: think of your Agile teams as spokes in a wheel. When they all work together, the wheel turns and the program works. When they don't work together, the wheel doesn't turn and gets stuck. No momentum. I avoid titles such as Chief Architect, Chief Product Owner, Master Architect, Uber Anything, Master Anything. The core or the program team members are not part of a hierarchy. I do use titles such as Program Manager, Program Product Owner, and when necessary, Program Architect. The idea behind the program titles is that these people have a responsibility to provide business value to the program. They're not hierarchical leaders. They might lead a community of practice as a servant leader, facilitating communication, removing obstacles, connecting people. Chapter 11, Develop Your Servant Leadership, will have more details. However, it's not the program architect's job to do big architecture up front and design the architecture for the product. On the contrary, it's the program architect's job to nurture the evolution of the architecture and the business value of the architecture as the program proceeds. It's his or her job to worry about the most responsible moment to lead the discussion at the architecture community of practice. I think we know enough to say this is our architecture for now. It is the program product owner's job to define the Agile roadmap and update it as the program product owner sees the demonstrations and hears from other product owners in the product owner community of practice. It is the program manager's job to create the program plan with the core team and update it and the risk list and any other documents if necessary and collaborate across the organization. These program people have extra responsibilities. They're not masters or chiefs or Uber anybody. They have responsibility for business value. And if you need a person to be the chief architect, one person to make all the final decisions, say so. That's okay. You might even need one person to be the program product owner, not a chief, to be the person to make the final decision about the roadmap and the backlog. Say so, but make it a transparent decision. If you're transparent about it, everyone will respect your decision. Your people will appreciate you for your honesty. 7.7. Continuous integration and testing supports collaboration. I like continuous integration, CI, where each team finishes their small chunks and integrates their work at least once a day. When I use CI, each team integrates multiple times each day. It's even better when that small chunk is a story. You don't need hardening sprints. You don't have program-level technical debt. Everyone gets to see the product grow each day. If you're able to use the product in-house, you can see the product and get feedback from the in-house users. It's a win for everyone. Team members can use continuous integration when they automate their unit testing and much of their system testing. Testers will still need to perform the nasty exploratory testing, which will find defects in unexpected places. Testers can automate most of the normal test scenarios that the team needs to run often. When the teams automate their testing and continuously integrate their code, something magical happens. They can collaborate at the team level because their code works. They can solve problems in their communities of practice and in their small world networks. That has two significant side effects. The program moves faster, maintaining momentum, and the problems they escalate to the software program team tend to be more difficult to solve. If the program team solves only the difficult problems, not how do we transition to agile problems, the program team can provide optimal value to the program. They solve problems that prevent the entire product from releasing, not the obstacles that prevent your teams from even getting to a product. If your teams do not have automated tests or are not able to continuously integrate, solve those problems now. Do not wait until you are midway through the program and your product development has stopped because no one can integrate. In the same way, if the teams do not maintain their automated test development, both unit test and system test development, they will be able to discover how to fix their code if two features clobber each other. Making features small and using small world networks helps with collaboration. But maintaining good support for code with test automation and continuous integration helps too. What can a program manager do? 1. Ask for the result you want. If you want continuous integration, explain that's what you want. I say something like this. I want the system to be in a releasable state every day. At a minimum, I would like that every week. I know that's not where we are now, and that's the result I would like. What would it take for us to get there? 2. Assume the technical teams understand the technical problems better than you, the program manager, do. If you ask for the problem and impediments, don't poo-poo the problems. Treat the problems and impediments seriously. Assume the technical people are correct about the problems. 3. Use the rule of 3 for each potential solution. That is, for each problem, develop 3 potential reasonable solutions to that problem. That way, everyone understands the problem well enough. If you only have 1 potential solution, chances are quite good no one understands the problem well enough to solve it. 4. Involve the communities of practice in generating the solutions to these problems. That's what they're there for. Use them. 5. Ask for project or feature team volunteers to try a solution before committing the program to it. Never impose a solution on the entire program. If no one is willing to volunteer to try a solution, it's not reasonable. Go back to the drawing board. As the program manager, listen to your teams. If they say, "We can't do this," ask what would enable them to be able to do what you desire. Consider asking them to experiment to become more agile and lean. Without continuous integration, your program cannot achieve continuous delivery. If you have the possibility to use continuous delivery, what prevents you from doing so? That's an impediment you, as a program manager, can facilitate removing. 7.8. Beware of technical debt. The larger and longer your program, the more the teams need to keep the code and tests clean. If they keep the code and tests clean, they can use continuous integration. They can meet all their deliverables to each other. They can collaborate across the organization because all the code and tests are ready and available for them to work on at any time. If the program encounters a big problem, such as the teams realize the current architecture won't work, the code is in great shape to refactor or redesign. As a program manager, listen to your teams if they start to say, "We feel pressured to meet a date." My experience, and I bet yours too, is that when teams try to meet dates, they finesse quality. In Agile, teams finish their work. Limit the feature scope, not quality. That's the way to build a great product in a program. Eliminate technical debt in each feature. Eliminate technical debt for each iteration or feature set. Eliminate technical debt for each release. If any team needs a hardening sprint, you have technical debt. Find it and eliminate it. 7.9. Invite people to experiment. One way to assist autonomy, collaboration, and exploration across the program is to invite people to experiment. An experiment is when you have developed a hypothesis of what is causing a problem or impediment. You decide to try something for some amount of time and measure the results. You need to measure or you're not experimenting. At the end of that time, you assess the results and decide what to do next. If you invite people to experiment, or if others invite you to experiment, no one mandates anything for anyone else. No one holds the secret sauce for problem solving on the program. That's good, because there is no secret sauce. The more you invite people to experiment, to create a hypothesis, to try something for a short time box, to measure the results and decide what to do, the more they take the responsibility for their actions. When they are responsible, they are more likely to succeed. Some people might not like the word experiment. Consider these words as alternatives: trials, or tinker with the way we work. Regardless of what you call it, work in short time boxes as teams and measure the results so you can decide what to do next. Treat people as if they are adults and you're equal. They are equals. They have their parts to do, as do you. They will respond by acting as if they are adults. If they work across the organization, collaborating in their small world networks as adults, you will get the results you want, a working product. 7.10. Principles of encourage autonomy, collaboration, and exploration. 1. Autonomy, collaboration, and exploration are the foundation for feature team success. Tell the feature teams that. The principles are: continuous attention to technical excellence and good design enhances agility, and the best architectures, requirements, and designs emerge from self-organizing teams. 2. Encourage small world networks with email lists and in-person meetings where possible. The principle is: amplify learning, and face-to-face conversation is the most efficient and effective method of conveying information. 3. Create communities of practice. The principles are: continuous attention to technical excellence and good design enhances agility, and the best architectures, requirements, and designs emerge from self-organizing teams, and amplify learning. Chapter 8. Conduct useful meetings for your program. In the program, people need program-level meetings for several reasons. The product owners need to collaborate to update the Agile roadmap. Refer to Chapter 5, Use Continuous Planning. The product owners need to build MVP backlogs. Product owners might build the backlog first and ask the team to review the backlog. They might build the backlog alone and present it to the team. It depends on how integrated the product owner is with the team under normal circumstances. The software program team needs to solve problems that the feature teams can't solve and needs to present status reports to the rest of the organization. The core team needs to solve problems that the software program team can't solve and needs to make sure that everyone on the core team is ready for product release. The core or the software program team might have a retrospective. Either program team might need to provide a status report to the rest of the organization. Each program team might want to have a big visible chart explaining the program's state at any time. The program team will need to meet to create that status chart or report. You have choices for how people conduct these meetings. 8.1. Explaining status. Do not use stand-ups at the program level. You'll notice that none of these meetings are stand-up meetings. A stand-up is insufficient for these meetings. Tip: do not use stand-ups for program teams. Stand-ups will devolve into serial status meetings. Asking, "What did you complete?" or even, "What did you do since our last stand-up?" is the wrong question. The question is irrelevant because the program team members do not have daily micro-commitments to each other as team members in a feature team do. That's because the core team members are not a real team in the sense that they don't have interdependent deliverables. Remember, the core team is a group of people whose job is to shepherd the product to release, solving business problems that would prevent release. A stand-up is also irrelevant for a software program team. Too much occurred in the software program if teams are integrating features every day or more often. If you ask the "since the last stand-up" question, you create a serial status meeting. Don't do it. Nobody likes serial status meetings. Program teams exist to solve problems and remove obstacles across the organization. You, as a program manager, may have to report status up, down, and sideways. Do not make your program team members sit through a serial status meeting. The next question, "What are you working on now?" is also irrelevant. You might need to ask about action item / Kanban item progress in part of the meeting, but you don't want to lead with that question. However, you do need to know what the obstacles are. You also need to know what the interdependencies are. You need to know if deliverables are going to be late, and the teams need to tell you. That's program management. You don't learn those issues in stand-up. You learn them in other ways. 8.2. Define a rhythm for your program team. Everyone in the core team or the software program team is busy with their other work. Define a rhythm so these busy people know what to expect for their program commitment and when to expect it. A program cadence shows respect for their time and the other demands of their job. You don't need to maintain the same cadence throughout the program. You might start with a bi-weekly, once every 2 weeks, meeting, and transition to a weekly meeting as the product release date gets close. Some program teams try to work in iterations. Some try to work in Kanban. I recommend using Kanban for each program team so each team can visualize their work in progress. I also recommend you have weekly or bi-weekly meetings depending on the duration of your program. The meetings provide you with a cadence, a rhythm for your work without having to commit to real iterations. The problem is that each program team solves different problems, especially if your program is large enough. The software program team solves technical problems. They answer these questions. How can we help the organization understand the progress all the software teams are making as a whole? What problems are we encountering as a program? How can we, as a program team, help the teams solve those problems or remove those obstacles? The last two questions are more tactical approaches to the core team's question, how can we help the program deliver across the organization? The software program team will limit their problem solving to the software program. If they see problems across the organization that they can't fix, they escalate that problem to the core team. The core team solves business value problems. They answer these questions. How can we help the functions across the organization solve their problems and obtain the information they need? What problems are we encountering as a program? How can we, as a program team, help the cross-functional core team solve those problems or remove those obstacles? The first question addresses the strategy for the program. The last two questions are more tactical approaches to the core team's question, how can we help the business value of this program? The core program team will address problems across the organization. If the core team sees problems it can't fix, You, as the core team program manager, will have to escalate the problem to your sponsors or management. How often should your program team meet? Depending on the projected duration of the program, I have started programs with a biweekly program team meeting that helps everyone start the program and learn to work together. As the program nears the release date, we move to weekly program team meetings. That's because we have more frequent deliverables. Meet when you need to meet, not any more often. The program team is a team in the sense that everyone has the same goal, to release the product. But almost no one will work together on their work. Each person is a delegate from across the organization. The likelihood that the program team can swarm on their problems outside the program team meetings is small. In that sense, the program team is a group. Maybe you can experiment with your core team meetings. It all depends on how your program is proceeding. I recommend you use a problem-solving meeting agenda. I have suggestions for that agenda in Section 8.3, Organize Your Program Team Meetings. You can use an action item list, which I used for many years. I now prefer a Kanban board because it shows the number of items in progress. Figure 8.1 in the supplemental materials shows a potential Kanban board for a core team. You might prefer an action item list. Make sure you have some chart that exposes the work, and especially the work in progress, the WIP. The program team is a place WIP can hide. Do not let the WIP hide on the program team. You might be close to the end of the program and realize that there are legal agreements to sign, pricing to determine, training to plan, all kinds of things that the core program team needs to deliver. The Kanban board for the core team will help that team see their WIP and manage their risks. How to manage long lead items. Every so often you have long lead items. Maybe you have to order equipment. Maybe you have to commit to an outside vendor. Maybe you have to integrate with some other software. You have to commit to something more than 3 months in advance, well outside of an iteration. You have a long lead item. What do you do? This is a risk to your program. Manage it as a risk. Ask yourself, what is the smallest action I can take to see results or action on this long lead item? How will I know I'm getting closer or further away from this deliverable? How can you visualize whether you are closer, not farther, from this deliverable? Add something every week, an inch pebble, to your Kanban to ensure you make progress on your long lead items. 8.3. Organize your program team meetings. Are your program team meetings too large? Right size your program team meetings. I once coached a program manager who was attempting to rescue a large program of 16 feature teams. Their program team meetings were a disaster. Each feature team had a scrum master. Each scrum master attended the weekly software program team meetings. That program team was not able to make decisions or remove obstacles. The program fell further and further behind, not because they used Scrum, but because they could not agree as a group of 17 people. The program manager decided to organize the program team meetings first. She said, "You Scrum Masters are all at different levels. Some of you are Scrum of Scrum Masters for several teams working on related feature sets. Some of you have just one feature team working on one feature set. We have a major risk to the program. We are not finishing our program teamwork because we can't agree on anything. I have a big question. Do you all need to be at this meeting? You folks decide, should you be at this meeting? If not, decide how you will get the information. I will leave it up to you. I work for you." She sat back down and let them work for 30 minutes. At the end of 20 minutes, they had self-organized into one meeting of four small program managers. Each of those program managers had three feature teams working on related feature sets. In addition, there were five independent feature team scrub masters. That made nine people plus the program manager and the program product owner. After the first program team meeting, the independent feature team scrum masters decided they didn't need to all be there. One of them came to each meeting and debriefed the other four later. The program manager continued to email the agenda to all the scrum masters in advance of each meeting in case they wanted to participate. She sent the minutes to everyone also, so everyone felt as if they could see the information. The program teams had a workable number of people on them, the software program team and the feature program teams. Everyone could make their own decisions and had a way to help information move around the organization. If you have a large program, look for programs within your program. Find a way to manage the number of people at your program team meetings. Refer to Section 2.3. Know which program teams you need. If you still require a delegate from each feature team, create program team norms about how you will make decisions. I have seen these norms work. People discuss issues and concerns in advance on a wiki or some other internal project forum. If people haven't read the agenda and discussion points in advance, they don't get to participate in a decision. If the people who are supposed to be on the program team are also doing technical work, they find someone else to vote as their proxy. People agree to use limited consensus so they can experiment and measure before they reject an idea. You may need to build team norms for your program team if you have never worked together before. Expect to spend time building team norms at your first program team meeting. Be prepared to iterate on your team norms. You will have to find the norms that work for your team. 8.4. Program team meetings solve problems. Program manager facilitates an environment for problem solving, a form of servant leadership. It's all about risk management, helping people to be more agile and lean. The following sections will discuss three tactics for addressing problems: problem-solving agendas, lean coffee meetings, and temperature readings. 8.4.1. How to use a problem-solving meeting agenda. I've used and evolved this kind of agenda over time. Start here and evolve it for your use. I like to send the agenda in an email to everyone at least 24 hours in advance. In that email, I ask, do you have anything for the problem of the week? If they do respond, I can add it. If not, they might be ready to add it at the time of the meeting checking in. Include the list of invited participants so everyone knows who is in the meeting or on the call. Include the location, meeting room, or call information if this is a conference call. 1. Check in with everyone. 2. Visualize the Kanban or milestone information. Help people see the short-term and long-term milestones. 3. List the problem or problems of the week. If you are having bi-weekly meetings, change this to the problem of the meeting, or call it obstacle removal or impediment removal. Use terms that fit your organization. Remember, the program team exists to solve problems at the program team level, core team level, or software program team level, not at the feature team level. Discuss each problem. Make sure this is a problem you can solve with this program team. Assess whether you need to time box the discussion. Decide if you need to split into sub-teams to discuss the problem and generate solutions. Ask yourself if you need to escalate the problem if you can't solve it. As a program team, your goal is to resolve each problem by the end of the meeting. But some problems are not 20-minute to 1-hour problems. In that case, you need to have a separate meeting to resolve the problem. Put the problem on your Kanban board or action item list with the time to resolve it. Don't let this work hide. It's WIP. 4. Review any outstanding action items or Kanban items you have not resolved. 5. Adjourn the meeting. Create a central repository that anyone can access. Use that repository to raise issues and solve problems outside of the meeting. I like meeting notes and action items on a wiki or on their own Kanban board. After the meeting, send the minutes with action items, maybe a picture of the Kanban board, or a pointer to the board, within 24 hours after the meeting. 8.4.2. How to use lean coffee meetings. When you use lean coffee, everyone brainstorms the list of issues on stickies. You vote on the stickies. You take the highest-ranking sticky, discuss that for a short time box. Consider selecting a time box of 8 minutes and seeing if that works for you. You can always decrease the time box duration to 5 minutes if you like. Do not start with a time box longer than 8 minutes. The idea behind the lean coffee is that you discuss something as long as people have energy around it, longer than 8 minutes and the discussion will sag. At the end of the time box, you thumb vote to continue, thumb up. Don't care, thumb sideways, or change the topic, thumb down. If you time box your program team meetings to 1 hour, you may be surprised by how many issues you can cover in 1 hour. You might decide to summarize the list of action items or prepare a Kanban of the actions at the end of the meeting. If so, either add another 5 to 10 minutes, time box this work, or include it in the meeting. 8.4.3. How to use a temperature reading. Virginia Satir, a family therapist, developed the temperature reading. You may want to try it for your program team. Alternatively, it's a great way to do retrospectives with a team. 1. Appreciations. An appreciation is a personalized thank you with the reason why. It takes the form of first name, I appreciate you for something, because, for some reason. 2. New information. What new information does anyone have? 3. Puzzles. What puzzles you? 4. Request for change. What changes would be helpful? 5. Hopes and wishes. What hopes and wishes do you have? 8.5. Retrospect at the program team level. Program teams need to reflect and change their approaches just as the feature teams do. They might need to inspect and adapt more often or less often as the teams. Here are some guidelines for when the program team needs to retrospect. When the program team has more WIP than they thought was reasonable. When people don't finish their deliverables to the program. Deliverables could be training modules from the training department or legal agreements or automatic deployment for the software program. These are examples, and the program teams would track them. When the program teams don't clear obstacles for anyone in the program. Aside from a temperature reading, consider ways to discover the data and then move into problem solving. Give yourselves enough time, at least half a day, to understand the issues and develop action items from the retrospective. If your program team members are geographically distributed, it's even more important to retrospect at regular intervals. The space-time continuum problems may manifest themselves in the feature teams also. Understand them and solve them. For more possibilities for retrospectives, read Agile Retrospectives, Making Good Teams Great by Esther Derby and Diana Larson, and Getting Value Out of Agile Retrospectives, a Toolbox of Retrospective Exercises by Luis Gonsalves and Ben Linders. 8.6. Principles for conduct useful meetings for your program. 1. Define the purpose for your meetings. Make sure you have the people you need. Time box the meetings if necessary so people don't spend all day at the meetings. The principles are eliminate waste and business people and developers must work together. 2. Don't have meetings you don't need to have. The principle is eliminate waste. 3. Create a public online forum so everyone can see the discussions your program team is having. This will help the transparency of your program and help people see you're working on removing obstacles. The principles are amplify learning and business people and developers must work together. Chapter 9. Estimating program schedule or cost. If you've ever used waterfall approaches to programs, you and the team spent a fair amount of time estimating how long the program would take or how much it would cost. Now, even if you're using Agile, your managers might want to know, how long will this program take? Or they will want to know, how much will this beast cost? Your managers asked for estimates because back in the waterfall days, estimates were the only way they could manage the program risk. In Waterfall, we were supposed to update the estimate at the end of each phase. We don't have phases in Agile, so your managers might not realize they have other ways to manage program risks at an operations review meeting or a project portfolio management meeting. However, you have other levers at your disposal to manage program risk and report status. The best lever you have to manage risk is the fact that you can see working product all the time. If you use the idea of internal releases at least each month, your managers don't need to ask for estimates. Managers today may ask for estimates because they think they can add more people to your program and reduce the necessary time. They are mistaken. Once you have one feature team per feature set backlog, you may not need any more teams on your program. You can ask feature teams, would it be useful to work in conjunction with another team to reduce the time? Listen to what the feature teams say. Adding more people or more teams to your program may slow it down, especially if the program is late. Adding more people or teams increases the communication overhead. If the program is late, you will encounter Brooks' Law from Frederick P. Brooks, The Mythical Man Month, Essays on Software Engineering. Help your managers see that they have levers other than the estimate for your program. In an agile or lean organization, as long as the feature teams complete a feature every day or so, the managers can say stop whenever the program has enough working. Spending time estimating instead of delivering makes little sense for an agile program. 9.1. Does your organization want resilience or prediction? If your management is new to Agile, they may not realize that Agile and Lean provides the program resilience. Estimation is prediction, and your teams can estimate work that is close and small with good results. However, the larger or farther off the work is, the worse the estimate is likely to be. Once the teams start delivering, you can explain the value of resilience, the ability to change fast. Ask your management what they want, resilience or prediction. If they say prediction, maybe they will change their minds after the teams produce working product and continue producing more working product. If they say resilience, they trust the product owner value team to rank the features. The managers also trust the teams to complete features. Work with your managers to build trust so they don't need as many estimates as they used to. 9.2. Ask these questions before estimating. If your managers still want to know how much the program will cost or how long it'll take, remind them that these questions are the wrong questions. You, as the program manager, can ask, how much would you like to invest in time, money, or learning before we stop? Are you ready to watch the program grow as we build it so you can stop us when you don't want to invest anymore? What is the value of this project or program to you? It's much easier to manage investment than it is to predict an estimate. With an agile roadmap, your sponsors can help select the investment direction, too. It's easy to answer the how much would you like to invest question as long as the program always has demonstrable or releasable product. Either your sponsors will say, I've seen enough, please stop, or they'll say, I like what I see, please keep going. Or they might say, I sort of like what I see, and I'd like you to change this and that, please. It's easy to work with people like that. It's much more difficult to estimate a whole program. But what if your sponsors need some kind of ballpark estimate, something that gives them an idea of how much or how long this program will last? You may need a gross estimate because your sponsors may want to limit their time and money investment. They may want to stop before reaching NRE, non-recurring engineering expenses. Here are some ideas. 9.3. Targets beat estimates. Working toward a target, either date or budget, is much easier than trying to estimate a large program. If your sponsors say, here's your target date, or don't exceed this budget, that's great. You can manage the program risks to meet that target date or budget. You can work towards a target, making sure you have, at minimum, monthly deliverables that are releasable product. You will have to help the product owners focus on the most valuable roadmap. You will have to watch the run rate for the program. You will have to work with the feature teams to make sure they produce monthly demonstrations or working product. 9.4. Generate an estimate with a percentage confidence. If you must estimate, try a gross estimate with a percentage confidence. Your estimate will be wrong, but if you call it a gross estimate with a percentage confidence, a prediction, or a forecast, you're more likely to get the result you want. Remind your sponsors that estimates are guesses, not promises. Assuming you have teams, and they have some idea of what is in their feature sets or backlogs, Try this approach. 9.4.1. Option 1. Teams estimate their own ranked backlogs. For a program, each team does this for its own ranked backlog. Take every item on the backlog and roadmap and use whatever relative sizing approach you now use to estimate. If you have small features, you can count them. Remember, because you are agile, you may not do the work farther